And we are back. Second base with Bowman and Burks.
How's everybody doing after the quarantine, lockdown, now
quarantine, lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, curfew, lockdown?
Curfew, now we're on curfew for riots. I mean, it has been... It's been a heck of a year.
It's been like, and we're halfway there. Welcome to June 1st, second base with Bowman and Burks. I almost forgot how to record one of these.
Yeah, I know. It has been a while. The last thing we did was we played Wii Live.
Yeah. Thanks for watching that one. I got my butt kicked 2 out of 3 games, bowling and golf. It was great fun. I think I lost in tennis too. I think I lost everything.
We tied something.
Yeah, we tied something. It was two. Yeah. Anyway, I lost. I wasn't any good.
It's Wii, man. What are you going to do?
So. But anyway, we're here, safe and sound. We really don't know what to talk about. We're kind of conversing.
Yeah, like, it's really tough to be a sports show at this time. I mean, you see all the crap they keep talking about on TV now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Pictures of people sitting in their living room or in their home office, not really having nothing to talk about. We could talk about the fact that Dak still doesn't have a contract.
Dak still does not have a contract. That is very true.
It's coming any day.
Any day now, it's coming. He's going, he wants like $40 million?
Something like that. Well, no, he wants $45 million for the last year if he has to have a fifth year, is what I think they said. Because he wants 4 years. The Cowboys want five years, yeah. But they want the option on the fifth one. And he's like, no, if I'm going to take that, because the fifth year will be the first year of the new TV deal.
Mm.
He's like, no, by then it'll be at least $45 million a year. I want that last year at 45, which only raises the average like $1 or $2 million a year.
Yeah. So it's not a big deal, but at the same time, it's like a big deal. Cause I don't know. Like, I've gotten past the fact where I try to figure out how money and markets and things are set up. And
well, the biggest thing is by all the projections of what the TV money is going to be, like $45 million will be the same percentage of the salary cap that he's making with the $35 million now.
Yeah. So, I don't, like I said, it's just one of those things like, and everybody's talking about he's a trash quarterback or he's a great quarterback and he's got all these weapons, but the weapons aren't good. And I mean, I don't know. If you think he's worth it, you pay him. I don't necessarily think he's worth $45 million.
Okay,
so
nobody's worth $45 million. We pretty much know that.
Well, I said that before when the guy in baseball was making way more than that per year.
Who?
And who was the dude that signed like a $250-something million contract in baseball?
One for more than $40 million a year.
It was pretty high. I remember it being pretty. And I was like, "Who's worth that much money?" And you're like, "Whoever wants to pay him that.
Whoever can get somebody to pay him that."
That's what I remember you saying that. So like,
that's generally it. I mean,
anyway. So regardless of what he's worth in terms of the salary cap or whatever, I mean, I gotta say is Dak, do what you could do, but get what you can get.
He got with the right representation to get all he can get.
Yeah, get what you can get. There's nothing wrong with that. And the Cowboys, to their credit, are doing, we're gonna give you what we feel like we can give you and still make money or not, you know, blow the market out.
It's kind of good and kind of bad that we're going through all of this quarantine stuff with the new coach and the new system. So it's not like they're missing a bunch of, you know, together time anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone said, I remember watching somebody and they said, why can't they, this is the best time for Dak. Like, you're not at workouts. You're sitting at home. The Cowboys are sitting at home. Jerry's probably still on his yacht from the draft, chilling. CeeDee Lamb's probably there with him. And it's just everybody's having to get this figured out. There's no reason not to try to figure this out. You can't do anything else. But Dallas is going to get their guy. I mean, I like Andy Dalton. He's a solid backup. I mean, he's $3 million.
Okay. Do we agree that Dallas now has the best receiving trio in the league?
Who's the third one?
What do you mean, who's the third one?
You got Cooper. I guess you're putting Lamb second. Who's the third one?
Gallup still is ahead of Lamb until Lamb proves
okay,
it.
Okay, then no.
Why, Lamb?
I'm not a big Lamb fan. Oh, I forgot. Never mind. I guess so.
What do you mean, never mind? What are you even talking about?
I mean, I thought it was Minnesota, but I forgot. We got rid of Stephon Diggs, so.
Well, who was your third one?
Mine would have been Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and the third guy that Kirk Cousins can't throw the ball to.
Okay, backup.
Oh, he's the tight end. I would go to tight end Kyle Rudolph. He's pretty good, too.
He's okay. But
no, he's really good.
Here's the deal.
He beat the Saints.
Yeah, well, playoffs, I saw him get beat by a whole bunch of, like, golf professionals.
That's golf. This is not.
No. On the Peloton the other day.
It's a bike.
They had a Peloton challenge. The Olympic swimmer kicked all their butts.
Of course they did.
And then I forget who all was on there. Football's
short burst. But like Booger McFarland was one of them, I'm sure.
Booger McFarland, he was like number two or three. Yeah, he was in the top three.
Apparently he like lost a bunch of weight since he's not doing Monday Night Football.
He's got plenty of time on his hands. Time
to do whatever he wants
to. And
he's
in great shape now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I forget who all it was. Rory McIlroy was in there. The other golfer, there's two other golfers, Bubba Watson and Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas was down near the bottom. You can kind of tell. He doesn't necessarily look super athletic. Just, I mean, he can play golf great.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he's got a really solid wide receiver, a really good solid wide receiver core.
I think Dallas has the best receiving core.
Top two, three, sure. I mean, I don't know everybody's. I mean,
okay, Cooper and Gallup were both over 1,000 yards last season, and you added what most people think is
still the draft.
Well, yeah, but the Cowboys had CeeDee Lamb as their top receiver on the board.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan and just that alone, you're just sitting there going, I'm not mad at it at all.
No, you're excited that they didn't screw up the draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they had to do. I mean, I know the Eagles
they
were like.
They took the best player available.
Yeah, and then so just like Green Bay, they took the best player available in the first round.
I don't think they took the best player
available. That was a joke. That was sarcasm.
Aaron Rodgers
didn't think so either.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if I'm him, I'm like, hey, guys, the receivers were there. Like, receiver-heavy draft. Let's get some. Mm-hmm. They didn't get him no help.
No. None.
I think they got his replacement, but they didn't get him any help at all.
Well, guess what? He handled it like a G. He just said, hey, you know, I want to play here until I was 45, but
I guess now it's now outside my
control. I can't fully control that now.
So what was the bigger surprise, do you think? Because we knew Aaron Rodgers was getting older.
Yeah.
Okay, so they drafted Love to replace him,
mm-hmm.
but – that was first round.
Yep.
Philly drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round mm-hmm. is one of the crazier picks.
I see it because, you know, you lost Nick Foles. And
is it just because you're a franchise quarterback that you just paid the big contract to can't stay healthy?
I think that's part of it. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with it.
Andy Dalton was available.
I mean, a lot of people were available. Cam Newton still doesn't have a job.
Yeah, but Cam's going to come in and challenge for the starting job, and they didn't want that.
Will he?
He'd try to. He'd at least think he should.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know he thinks he's – I mean,
that's
Joe
why he's
Flacco –
sitting out now. He's sitting out waiting for somebody to get hurt right now.
Because Joe Flacco's a backup now.
Yep.
I mean, if Joe Flacco – and I'm not hating on Joe Flacco, that's Super Bowl right there. Like, he's got the thing.
Hey, that was a very impressive run. Yeah,
hating on that at all. I mean, the same, but – I mean, you got guys that can get contracts. That says a lot about you. Other guys can find jobs and you can't. And you've done stuff on the field. It ain't just what you do on the field.
Well,
there's a lot that goes into it. Can we talk? I mean, kids always think, oh, well, they just hear the name. And they think, yeah, that guy's great. Why isn't he automatic? He should automatically be like, yeah, but. Well, a lot of other tangible intangibles. And
just because you're a big name doesn't mean you still put good tape out.
Yeah.
People could see that. And Cam has injury history that nobody mm-hmm. knows how he's coming back from. And Cam is a big personality in a room.
Yeah. But like I said, who's the quarterback, for example? Here's the big deal about Cam Newton. And again, this is stuff that was talked about a month and a half ago.
But y'all don't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, who was his former coach?
Oh, what's his name? The guys for the Redskins.
Yeah, Rivera. Yeah. Yeah. Who's the backup that they got for Dwayne Haskins?
Did they draft somebody?
No.
Who's their backup?
They picked, they got Allen from Carolina. They picked Cam Newton's. Ron Rivera got Cam Newton's backup.
He brought the backup with him. Yeah, that's right.
Like, you have a starter right there, and he picked the backup.
Yeah, because he didn't want. He doesn't.
But again,
anywhere Cam goes, Cam's going to think he could possibly start.
And
he's a former MVP.
Yeah. I mean, I know why.
The other veteran players are probably going to think that. And if your team just drafted your quarterback of the future,
last
you don't
want
to bring anybody in to disturb that.
Yeah, unless your team Tim Tebow.
Well,
I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Again, but you see it at face value. You're like, see, oh my gosh, Ron Rivera picked a backup. He didn't even pick a starter.
But he picked a backup to be a backup.
Yeah,
he didn't pick
a starter
guy
to be a
that
backup.
Still thinks he can start.
But again, you see the headline and you just think, oh, Cam Newton must be a horrible guy. Like, no, there's
and I'm pretty
a lot
sure
more nuance
you could get Allen for cheaper than you could get.
Oh, so much more cheaper. But again, let somebody get hurt first couple weeks of the season.
Pay. I mean, look, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler just got divorced.
Oh, man.
Because he didn't take the football broadcasting gig.
Man.
He took it, cut loose on that, went back and played. And guess what we didn't know about Jay Cutler, but you kind of did. He got by on his talent instead of his work ethic the whole time. And his wife was tired of him laying around the house being a bum.
Yeah. You know, so if you haven't, Jay Cutler is married to a girl who used to be on some MTV
famous
show.
Famous to be a famous.
She was on some MTV show, Laguna Beach or The OC or some show.
Yeah, like there's kids out there that have no idea what you're talking about because this is way back.
Yeah, this is back in the day when they were still kind of showing music on MTV. Anyway, he's married to this lady, Kristen Cavallari, whatever. And you watch her show. She's got a show on E! It's like a very bad Keeping
the name
up with
of
the Kardashians.
It's like very Cavallari.
Yeah,
or something.
It's a very bad Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and that tells you the quality of the show. But when you watch Jay Cutler on the show, he gives zero F's
about life and
anything.
General. But
like, Jay Cutler, like, I watch the show now. I ain't gonna lie, I watch a lot of episodes, especially after the divorce stuff came up because.
Just trying to see.
Jay Cutler is my spirit animal. That dude is just, I give zero F's about everything. What you gonna do today, honey? She's like, I don't think I'm gonna go to work and do this and that. What you gonna do? I'm like,
nothing.
Might just buy a house. You just have this look. I mean, he never looks happy, ever.
Yeah, but he doesn't necessarily look sad or depressed.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's just
unimpressed with everything.
I mean, that's this thing about when he was in the league. Everybody said the same thing. Like, his body language sucks.
Yeah,
but apparently that's
you know
not
what
his
he
body
could
language.
Throw four, he could throw four or five picks, and he'd be right back in there slinging another one.
Yeah, like you know, women have this thing called forgive my language, y'all. I don't know if the FCC's listening. You know, there's this thing called a resting bitch face. Cutler has he's his own thing. He's got a resting Cutler face. I wish I had a resting Cutler face.
I don't.
I can't even make it. Like, he has, like, no jawline, so it's kind of weird. If you see a picture of Jay Cutler, just look it up. But what's funny was when all the reports came out, like you said, she wants to divorce him because he's unmotivated and lazy because he didn't take a broadcast job.
Well, he took the broadcast job.
But then he got
and then turned it down to play football for
took
one
took a one-year
year
deal
and then
with
he
the
does
Dolphins.
It. One of the reasons she was okay with it was the broadcasting thing would keep him active and keep him doing stuff.
Yeah. And then it flamed out after he played, which I don't think I would have listened to Jay Cutler talk football.
He may have been fine at it.
He might have. I don't know, but he might have sounded completely disinterested.
He may have been just as good as Romo.
Okay, so.
Okay, you don't think he could have been on Booger McFarland's level?
Okay, he's definitely probably between Booger
and Jason Witten.
Jason Witten, yeah. He would have been bad. He wouldn't have been bad. I don't think he'd been horrible. I think just seeing his face after an impressive play, he's like Deshaun Jackson or Ezekiel Elliott with a 90-yard touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott with a 90-yard touchdown.
I don't think that's right, man.
I don't know. But like,
you know what he would have been? He'd be like, oh, that was a 75-yard completion. He should have waited and let him get 10 more yards, and they could have took it to the house. I don't know why he threw it like that.
Yeah, I don't know why he threw it so early. Like, who cares about timing? It's about that. It's arm strength. No, But like I said, what was funny about him was like the stories and clips that came out after she announced that they're getting divorced. And apparently, like, she wanted like $5 million to buy a house. And he's like, I just freeze all my assets. No one's buying nothing. Ain't no one buying anything until we get this settled up. I'm like, dude, he made almost $100 million in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You got a house, a ranch, animals. I saw the episode, you bought a llama. She bought a llama.
Okay.
On a Nashville farm. I'm like, he's watching the kids. They're having a good time. She can work. He's done his thing. What's the problem? It's kind of hard to be motivated with $100 million.
When you made $100 million. Idle hands.
I mean, is he slapping her around? Is he cheating on her?
I would venture to say that the theory would be unmotivated, sitting around with nothing to do all day, he would find something to do.
Golf.
He would find something to do, Jermaine.
I mean, that theory came out too, but so now I'm getting into tabloid scenarios. I watch a lot of YouTube.
You're getting into too much. Okay, this is the world of social media. This is what happens to us. You've been on this, but listen. Okay, so he's made $100 million. He has it. His wife has her on TV show. He doesn't do anything all day. I don't have an issue with this. I don't think you do. But I would assume that there are probably people kind of like Christy Cavallari that fill his DMs up every day.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're unmotivated. You could sit around the house.
But looking at Jay Cutler, like, I don't think he has the energy to even cheat.
Right. Well, she was worried about if he ever did get motivated in that direction, it would be bad.
I mean, I don't know. If you watch the show, it's okay.
I could see if she's a career oriented, driven person.
I don't
even
know what she does. Like, she has a business and she has friends, you know.
Well, she.
Cute, skinny girls. You know, I'm not saying they can't be fat. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying they're like her.
I think that's kind of what you're saying.
They're all like her. She has a staff of people who look like
network.
Her.
That's her.
And they apparently Jay walks in and like makes fun of all of them for working so hard. But I don't know what they're doing. Like I don't know.
What are y'all doing? Money's so easy to be made. I was a bad quarterback and I made $100 million.
Like I don't know what her job is. Like I don't know how she has a show.
Because she has to have her own business.
But I don't know what her business is.
It's her brand. She has her brand.
That does what? That's what I'm getting at. What is her brand?
Look it up.
I'm going to look it up. Research and develop. Research.
Speaking of this, okay, this is where our show has devolved to. Did you see where Kylie Jenner got in trouble for pretending to be a billionaire?
Yeah.
It's like, accounting mistake. I added a zero. So instead of almost being $100 million, we thought we were billions.
She's like 40. Yeah, she's like 41 million.
Yeah, that's not even. I mean, Chloe probably made that.
I don't know. Like, let me see.
Okay.
Well, so I'm looking this up. I'm trying to figure out what's her business.
So we're looking up Kristen Cavallari's.
Yeah, her brand. Net worth is
half of whatever Jay Cutler was worth.
Look at that. CelebrityNetWorth.com. Mm-hmm. She's worth 30 million. She's younger than I am, which makes me sad.
Yeah, well, you're getting older, so there's a lot of people younger than you are.
Yeah.
Like all the athletes now. When the athletes are our age, they have to retire.
That's true. That is very true. I was just on Laguna Beach, the real Orange County. That's what show she was
there
on.
There you go.
Okay. But let me see what she does now. She founded Uncommon Gems. It's a jewelry brand.
There you go.
It not only sells jewelry, but home goods. As of July of 2019, she was bringing in $20 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. She has a children's clothing line. She also has a children's clothing line called Little James.
There you go.
And she's written two books, mm-hmm. a cookbook and a book titled, quote, Balancing in Heels, My Journey to Health, Happiness, and Making It All Work, end right. quote.
And then she got divorced.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, in the other world of sports news.
You never finished the Dak Prescott quarterback wide receiver thing, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
This is what the news is taking. The world is taking this. So, I'll go and bring this up. Have you seen the Mike Tyson stuff?
Yeah, he's still a bad man at 50 years old.
Yeah, so apparently he's going to fight somebody.
I forget who.
Tyson Fury. I read he's going to fight Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury will destroy Mike Tyson.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mike Tyson's 50 years old.
54. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not saying he won't either.
Still 5'10" or whatever Mike Tyson was.
That dude is still freaking
Fury's
scary.
Fury's like 6'7".
That dude's freaking scary. Tyson.
He was scary.
Mike now Tyson. No, he's there's an no old Steve. Man. There's no was. He still is.
Okay.
Okay, so back in the day, Will Smith had a song called "I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson."
Mm-hmm.
At 54 years old, would you go in the ring against Mike Tyson?
For a lot less money than it would have
took $1 million, would you take a 3-round bout with Mike Tyson?
I would. I'm sure I would still get knocked out with the first hit. It just wouldn't do as much damage as it would have 30 years ago.
It would be like instead of being 100% effective, it'd be like 97% effective.
Well, even if it's 50, it's not like I'm a professional fighter. It's probably not that hard to knock me out.
I mean, I'm just saying that dude. I know it gets his training videos, but the man looks like a freaking beast. But again, I'm not saying he's going to beat some 30, a dude half his age. I'm not saying that.
In his prime, that's.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, is much bigger than Mike Tyson.
Yeah, because Mike Tyson's only competition in his defeats came against much bigger fighters.
Because he was kind of small to be fighting in heavyweight. Yeah.
I mean,
taller than me, but he's still a short dude.
So I saw that. I also saw what he's going to do, a bare knuckle boxing fight.
Oh, I hope not.
Like, what is this dude trying to do? Like,
well, okay. So what I understand is I think he started some testosterone replacement. And
that's not good.
Now he's telling everybody that the gods of war have awakened his combative whatever and told him to go win the title again or something. Like they've got his competitive juices flowing again.
Let me say
something like this is what we're doing.
Let's see what we have here.
What is it? What you got?
I'm trying to find something. I can't find it. Okay, so I'm just trying to find. You know, just type in Mike Tyson to see what pops up on the Google.
Yeah, but, well, put in Mike Tyson's tweet.
That comes up. Yeah.
Now it's about George Floyd stuff. Hold on. I'm a bad boy for life. Something like that.
Here's from a website. Let me bring this up real quick. Because again, I wouldn't fight the dude. He's got a gray beard and everything. I still wouldn't fight him. Says Mike Tyson serious about comeback, shows explosive burst on Twitter.
Yep.
This is from the website Trib Live. I couldn't find anything more official. But he's 43, my bad. Quote, "I've been hitting the mitts for the past week," Tyson said. "I think I'm going to box some exhibitions and get in shape. I want to go to the gym and get in shape to be able to box 3 or 4 round exhibitions for some charities and stuff. Some charity expositions, make some money, help some homeless and drug affected bleeps act like me," end quote. That's what it says. In the video, in the span of 4 seconds, Tyson releases 6 power punches with pauses to a heavily armored trainer who exclaims KO after his mitt is on the receiving end of the vicious right hook. Yeah, that says I'm a bad boy for life. He's plugging that movie, but he's also punching stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, Tyson's record, he hasn't fought in 15 years professionally.
Yeah.
He's 56-2.
Yep.
44 of those wins coming by knockout.
Yeah. He also bit Evander Holyfield's ear. Tyson bit
Holyfield's ear.
Was definitely losing that fight.
Oh, yeah. He was so frustrated. That's all he had to do to him. But
he's like, wait, I'm not stronger than you, and I cannot
just intimidate you.
Hit you with this quick punch and get out of here. It's a bad day.
So, like, you got that happening. And
but, yes, we can show wager whatever you would like to on Tyson Fury versus Mike Tyson, okay?
I'll take my money on Tyson.
I know you get Mike Tyson. I get Tyson Fury.
Okay. I'll take that.
I know.
I already owe you for one bet. I still haven't paid off yet.
These things keep going out there farther and farther.
I mean, I can make it. I mean, I got the stuff. I mean,
we'll eventually get that paid off. Just not yet. We got to get people back out on the streets.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. What else are we going to talk about? Let's see. Jordan rules have gone through now.
Yeah, the Last Dance. That? But the thing is, I didn't see. I have not watched the last four episodes.
Okay, I didn't watch three of the last four because ESPN cut out on my TV when I was trying to record everything.
And I was trying to watch it. I mean, I've watched enough 5 and 6 and stuff like that, but I didn't watch, 6 through 10. So I really can't speak on it. I mean, what I did see was really good, but there wasn't a whole lot. I guess the biggest thing about the Jordan thing and the Last Dance was like, you really kind of saw just how cold-blooded the man was.
Well, you saw two
in competition.
Things. You saw two things. You saw how he would even create some kind
of slight.
Of slight or intimidation, or you thinking you were on his level in order to push himself. Even if he knew it wasn't true, he could convince himself and motivate himself like that, which is on some other kind of crazy level. Because there's like one that come out to where it said some dude said something, and he's like, oh, he never said that.
Yeah.
But I told everybody he did, and mm-hmm. I worked it up in my head.
Like, it's one of them stuff that people, like, just someone, like, I remember they said the, I remember when they brought this up, the Tony Kukoc thing when they play Croatia and as the dream team during the Olympics, him and Scottie Pippen, like, made it their mission to destroy Tony Kukoc because that was the boy, that was Jerry Krause crowned him as, like, the next great player, and they felt slighted.
Well, Pippen especially, because Pippen still wasn't getting paid.
Yeah, and they, like, ruined his life. That's the other thing, like, but I already knew that. Like, Jordan never made money playing for the Bulls.
Well, he made some. He was the only one that got paid.
Trust me, like, in a sense, like, you look at the talent that he was versus the amount of money that he made.
It's kind of the same deal with the way LeBron's been for the last three or four years ago, more so.
Yeah, but
it was the same deal to where you can't pay him what he's worth.
Yeah.
Because it would be $250 million or whatever a year.
That's why he signed a lifetime. Was that him or Tiger that signed a lifetime $1 billion deal with Nike? I think it was LeBron.
It's probably LeBron.
I think a few years back, $1 billion deal with Nike.
Tiger signed like $100 million deal back before that was like for 10 years or something.
Yeah, so the Last Dance was cool, but like apparently like, I guess the only issue that came out of it was like the only people that looked good at the end of it was Michael Jordan.
Well, the other thing that you saw about Michael Jordan was really how lonely the lifestyle was, where he'd pretty much have to go, bunker down in a hotel room.
Yeah, I remember that.
And anytime he'd go to, he couldn't go out anywhere. He couldn't do anything like that. There was picture video of him just laying down on the couch.
I remember watching that episode.
And that would make you feel like, okay, the whole world loves you to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. They either love or hate you, but the world has strong feelings about you, but you can't have any kind of normalcy. Yeah. You can't go out and like, be a human person.
Yeah, I remember forever ago, and it still comes up, and I think that kind of gave a little more, I think the Last Dance kind of like shed a little bit of light on things that we heard of, but we didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, you got all these athletes. If you don't know, it's 2020, June 1st of 2020. The world is crazy right now. And athletes have the ability to speak on stuff and not get crucified the way that you couldn't do that in 1995, 96, 97, even 92, 93. Athletes didn't speak up like that. So there's that whole thing when Jordan said, well, Republicans buy shoes too. Mm-hmm. And we all, so like the black community looked at it as, oh, you don't care about us and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, that wasn't it. You hit the nail on the head. Michael Jordan was too big a star.
Right, to pick sides.
To pick a side. Because if he picked one, that automatically meant he didn't choose the other one.
That's right.
So he couldn't have won. Like
we've
just stayed out of it.
We've learned to accept athletes speaking out more now than they have before. Maybe not necessarily than they have before. I mean, Muhammad Ali spoke out a lot. The guys turned down the gold medals at the Olympics.
Yeah.
We've had people speak out before, but now it's more to business interests seem to sway you a little more or keep you quiet maybe when you haven't seen it be quiet before, okay? So in my modern day, so we would say that LeBron James is about as woke of a superstar as we've ever had, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you just can't. He couldn't have won.
Whoa. Okay. So, you know when LeBron James shut his mouth and didn't say a word?
Yeah.
When?
China.
China. That's exactly right. When it was going to affect the entire market that they had in China, all of a sudden, I don't need to talk on that.
Okay, so and his excuse was, I don't know enough about it, so I can't speak on it, which is fine. But we also know that when other things came up, I don't think you were well versed in those.
You didn't go, hey, let me go get fully educated on something before I give my opinion or come out on it. Right.
Yeah, so I'm with you because I mean Daryl Morey sent a tweet and got Houston completely shut out of China. LeBron wasn't dumb. I'm like, I'm not read up on this, meaning I don't want China to be upset with me.
Not only that, they were in China.
Yeah, like
they were in China when all this was going down. Like,
I'm not read up, meaning I'm not on American soil.
Did not mention anything about it when he got back over here either. But I'm not screwing up the NBA and Nike and everybody's sales to a whole country over there.
I think that's the biggest thing you hit on too. Like everyone knows. I mean, you watch it again, you're like, I watched some of this. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jordan was a bad mofo. This dude was like,
he was. But he forever. He was so elite. And challenged himself so much that he could never be satisfied. And that's one of the reasons he had his gambling issues.
Yeah.
He
had to get a rush out of something.
Right. Because like life was not exciting for him.
He was rolling pennies against a wall, betting $10 a shot.
Yeah, something like that with a security guard.
Like, why do you do that? Like,
because that's what he enjoyed.
I mean, I was like, you're at that point. Like, and he even said it, like, do you have a gambling problem? Like, there's one, like, he's like, you know what, I gotta talk about it. I'm gonna wear my shades in a dark room with Ahmad Rashad, who's my best friend, and he's going to interview me one-on-one. I'm going to talk about this gambling stuff. No, I didn't go out wilding out and partying. We hit a day off. I went to Atlantic Vegas, City.
Yeah, or whatever.
Like, whatever. Like, the dude's got, like, he's done all he can do. He's got to do something that's like the thrill seeker, the adrenaline junkie. Like, he just happens not want to jump out of airplanes. Right. He spent $100,000 on a golf game.
Yeah. I know.
And he's got the money to cover it. It's not like he like...
And gets, well, supposedly, you know, that one dude that he had to explain why he had checks to that dude. Mm-hmm. He owed that dude $1 million and then was like, negotiated it down to like 300 grand and wrote him a check for 200 grand of it.
Yeah, like...
And then this dude's some mafia guy or something.
I'll send you some McDonald's gift certificates and some Gatorade.
But Jordan never wanted anybody to be able to say that they got the best of it.
Fruit of a Loom and Hanes t-shirts. And I mean, like, I'll pitch you an extra in the
Think
the
about
Space
how
Jam
bad
movie.
It would have been if the Monstars would have won it.
You know what's... And it was funny because after the Last Dance came out and the world fell in love with Jordan again, apparently, somebody did a poll of like these 17 parameters of who's better, LeBron or Jordan.
Oh.
And Jordan won every single parameter.
Really?
Let me see if I can't find it. There's like 17, like it was like a poll of 17 questions. Like, if you had to take the last shot, who would you pick? If you had to tell someone to defend the last shot, who would you pick? Let me see if I can't find it. It's like some big poll that they put up. And Jordan,
because I mean,
it wasn't like Jordan 51, LeBron 49. It was like Jordan 72, LeBron 23.
Yeah,
so it was like a huge margin of victory for Jordan in
but
every category.
But this is right after we went back and reviewed how great Jordan is, and LeBron hadn't been playing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, basketball's been canceled, and you hadn't heard a lot from LeBron during this time. I heard him and J.R. Smith and somebody else went riding bikes in L.A., or Anthony Davis, I guess, were like riding bikes around L.A. And I think that was either right before or right after J.R. Smith beat that kid up for busting his mirror on his truck.
Yeah. Okay, so here are the things. They asked, let me make sure I get this right. This is a, looks like a radio station. WKYC.com. ESPN poll who fans thinks is better. So they had a poll, included 600 people, was broken down evenly into the following groups. There was a group of 18 to 34 year olds, and then a group of 35 and older. So 600 people. So here are the categories. I'll just read it down the line. Better sneaker for fashion. Who do you think won that? I already told you who won. Yeah, Jordan. Jordan, 79%. LeBron James, 21%. Better sneaker the ball in. Even though Jordan said the last time we played in Madison Square Garden, he wore the first Air Jordans, and at halftime, his feet were bleeding. The same. Better sneaker the ball in. Jordan brand, what do you think his percentage was?
Well, hold on. The new Jordans may very well be better than the new LeBrons.
Okay, so I don't.
So it's not like they were talking about version one.
I'm just talking about LeBron.
Jordan himself talked about how advanced the shoes were versus going back to that first shoe.
No, I'm just talking about, I'm just bringing it up just for clarification. Okay. So better sneaker the ball in.
Jordans.
I know, Jordans, but what percentage? Just give me a number.
80.
Close, 77.
Yeah.
LeBron's 23. Pick for game-winning shot. Jordan won it. So what was the percentage of people thought who wanted Jordan to take the last game-winning
65. Shot? 65.
76.
Again, 76.
Yeah. Wow. Come through in the clutch, Jordan.
90.
74%.
Okay, I figured that one would have been higher.
Spectacular to watch play.
Ooh.
Jordan.
Probably somewhere in the 70s again. So, I mean, is that what we're seeing? Is all most of these answers are basically in the 70s?
Spectacular play to watch. Jordan, 74%. LeBron James, 26%. Best player overall, Jordan, 73%. LeBron James, 27%. Which I have a huge problem with that one. Anyway, NBA was better all around. 71% Jordan, 29% LeBron James. I have another problem with that.
Got it
too. Win one-on-one to a game of 21. It dips below. This is where it dips below
70%. Finally gets below 70?
Yeah.
So it's like 68, 69?
67%.
Yeah.
Top pick to start a team. Jordan, 66. LeBron James, 34.
Hey, that's...
Best offensive player. LeBron, 35. Jordan, 65. There are seven more categories, including better look, better passer, positive impact off court, and Jordan won all of those.
Better passer? Jordan won better passer than LeBron?
So this is the link sending me back to ESPN. So let me just find the rest of them real quick. But yes, Jordan won every category.
There's no way Jordan's a better passer.
He won every category. Again, this is right after the Last Dance stuff.
A lot of Jordan's teammates would say he didn't know how to pass.
And we romanticized the mess out of Jordan. I'm one of those people who fell under the spell of the Last Dance too. Like, but then you watched it and you're like, wait. That was a bad A team. They made some bad A teams.
Yeah.
Under, you know, I don't know what they got paid. I don't care about what they got paid. But, I mean, you had LeBron. I mean, you had Jordan, the second greatest wingman of all time, with Scottie Pippen, number two, Batman and Robin. You had freaking Steve Kerr and John Paxson outside, just straight shooters. You had Horace Tony Grant. You had freaking Tony Kukoc, the dude from Eastern European dude. You had... Freaking Dennis Rodman, crazy psycho.
Yep, Rodman.
Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman. Like, you had freaking, what's the Chief? This old dude. The Chief.
Which one?
The Chief. His nickname, played Robert Parrish. He's somehow, like, older than time,
you know,
left
who,
the Celtics.
You know who I liked on those Bulls team?
Bill Wellington?
I liked Judd Butler. I liked B.J. Armstrong.
I love B.J. Armstrong. I was a huge B.J. Armstrong fan as a kid. Yeah.
I don't know why that was, but for some reason.
Yeah. So here's the rest of them. Better look. This is better look, quote, end quote, 65% to Jordan. Who would you rather have a drink with, LeBron or Jordan?
Oh, it's definitely Jordan.
Yeah, I think so too. But 65% for Jordan. The choose of the teammate.
Ooh, how did LeBron not win that one?
LeBron had 37%.
It was one of his highest ones.
Yeah. Positive impact off the court. This is the one that makes no sense to me. Because again, we just talked about it. Like Jordan, Jordan couldn't be the ambassador of basketball like LeBron is.
Right.
Like he couldn't. He just couldn't. Like the time didn't fit.
He brought basketball mainstream.
Yeah,
he did that. McDonald's. He did things.
With the Dream Team, he made...
Not even the Dream Team. No, I mean, I'm saying, but like, before that, he had...
I know, but they're talking about with the Dream Team, he made basketball. Like, he was... Global. Like he's the global guy. Right. Like, I get that. Like, he made basketball, like, wow. Like, he was like McDonald's and Mickey Mouse. It was Mickey Mouse, McDonald's, and Jordan. Like, you just be over... Like, never... You never watch basketball. Oh, that's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well...
Well, in the game, but positive impact off the court. But I don't, again, in the world of just social media and everything else, Jordan had all that. He still got 62% of the vote.
Yeah, that's rough.
Better defensive player.
He probably won that by 77%. Jordan, 7%.
No, 59%.
59%? That's closer than I thought.
Also, better passer, 59% with the Jordan, and then trust to pass you the ball.
And Jordan won that one.
Jordan won trust to pass you the ball.
I mean, okay, so that question right there was obviously put in to be a LeBron question to get LeBron a win. He still didn't get it.
Yeah. So, like I said, it just didn't, like, again, we just romanticized Jordan so much that he just couldn't win. Like, no one ever talks about what he did with the Wizards and how Gilbert Arenas was probably even a better player.
Ooh.
Agent Zero, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, but Jordan brought less guns to the stadium. I mean,
but he brought more money and cards to play.
That's very true.
But again, I'm not that I hate on Jordan because again, dude was awesome. But I'm just like, there's some things you just gotta give to another player. Like I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan, but I mean, the dude's got some clout. The dude's I gotta give
he's
him
got
some
a bunch
credit.
Of titles. We'll see. He'll have a lot more if he wins one.
I've gotta like, you know, people do the Peyton Manning Tom Brady thing. Like, who's the better quarterback? I think Peyton's the better quarterback, but Tom Brady beat him most of the time.
Well, everybody would say that
see, here's the thing, but we're gonna figure this is the year we figure that out.
No, you know why that doesn't count? Unlike in basketball, you know why that doesn't count?
Team sport.
Because Tom Brady never played Peyton
against
Manning.
Peyton Manning, yeah. The defenses did. Yeah. But still, but like, I mean, there's that argument of, you know, who's this or that or whatever, whatever. Like, I don't. LeBron's just the. LeBron, I mean, I would love to watch LeBron James play. I would love to watch Jordan play live. It wouldn't have mattered. Like, I don't care. My favorite player is still Reggie Miller, but.
Reggie Miller.
But, they're like, but apparently, like, but like I was saying before, like that's what we saw with The Last Dance. We talked about that a lot about it, even though we didn't really watch it. But apparently, people are upset about how they were like portrayed or how they were.
Some of the people, and then because Jordan, the camera crew that was around, caught a bunch of offhanded comments.
Of course, like that's why you don't have cameras running.
Right, talking about people, you know, having parties and doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Cocaine circus.
Yeah, and now these people are old, and they got grandkids, and everybody's like, what are you talking about?
Like, I was watching a thing today, and I forgot all about this. I was watching a video on Facebook. I mentioned to somebody, like, at the end of the last episode, they got, like, Karl Malone.
Yeah.
And they asked him, like, what do you want me to say?
Well, did Karl Malone come on there?
Like, apparently, like
John Stockton did.
Well, like, they apparently, like,
I didn't think Malone
like,
would
no,
come
Malone,
on.
No, Malone, no, they, like, had, like, a short video clip where they interviewed him. He didn't say much. He was just like... So, when you think of Michael Jordan, what do you think? He's like, what do you mean what I think? He's like, Karl Malone is this dude, old man with a gray beard, smoking a cigar the whole time. Like, he just looks cool as hell. And he's just like, what you mean? Michael Jordan. You say Michael Jordan, I think Michael Jordan. Everybody says Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. I'm going to give the man a respect. I'm going to give him what his respect. But, hey, I was a bad mother beat, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm second all-time scoring. Like, I'm not just some chump.
I know. My team. You were chasing 14-year-old girls.
So. He's like, that's like everybody's talking about, like, that was the story. Like, I forgot about all this. Like, they're talking about how, like, should we really be interviewing Karl Malone about Michael Jordan? Like, is this the guy we should have found because – he was in college and got a 13-year-old girl pregnant. And then he basically disowned, never like admitted that he had one son. And then he only cared about his daughter after she went to the same school he went to in college, and she won a title in the WNBA.
Well, I mean, isn't this pretty much to where maybe your athlete role models don't have to be your life role models?
Well, that's what he said. Apparently, there's a quote where he says something to the along the lines of, being a role model, you don't make the choice to make a role model. It gets put upon you.
Right.
And at that point, we have the choice to be good role models or bad role models. That's all he said. Like, Charles Barkley just came out and said, I'm not a role model. And he's messed around with Madonna and stuff.
Yeah, don't.
I forgot he messed around with Madonna. He was him too. And him and Crazy Dennis Rodman both were messing around with Madonna.
Scottie Pippen was way more with Madonna than any of them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Jordan tried to roll with him one time, tried to take Madonna or whatever, and she told Jordan that he couldn't do what Scottie could do. He needed to go back inside. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a whole nother story. But, yeah, for real, that's a story.
Like,
so,
the biggest thing, like, and back to the, like, we keep talking about, back to the point you made earlier about Jordan living this lonely life.
Yeah.
Like, his own daughter didn't know why he was such a big deal. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I know. She had to Google him to find out.
Like, why does everybody care about my dad so much? Like,
yeah.
Either Jordan, like, kept that away from you completely somehow, or you just were oblivious to this.
Well, I mean, thinking about it like this, and this is one to where you can kind of look and see at some of the NBA guys now, how active they try to be in their kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't as big a deal for Jordan, it didn't appear.
Yeah.
Back then, you know what I'm saying? Because you were on the road, you had all these responsibilities, you had all this stuff you had to do. And it definitely seemed, I'm sure there were people back then that did, but now it's easier to stay in touch with your kids because we have social media and cell phones and all this other stuff. Back there, they were on the road so much and had so many commitments. It was, I'm sure it was hard for them to get a break to go be with the family.
Yeah.
And that's why you have people like Kobe that, you know, tried to take the helicopter to and from work so he could be with the kids more and be present in their life.
Yeah, but, like, it's crazy just to think about, like, why do people care about my dad so much? Like, he's just plays basketball.
Well, but, okay, so it's one thing. As you get older, you realize that you're not the person you were in your 20s, even 30s to some extent. And people that respected what you did back then, when you get older, you don't even necessarily care that anybody respected that because you don't even, may not even respect what you did. See what I'm saying? But you could have been somebody when you were in your 20s and 30s, and it doesn't amount to much when you get older. You don't look back on it and talk about it.
Yeah. But I was like saying, so watching what I watch, and again, ESPN will, because they have nothing else to talk about still. And I don't think the Lance Armstrong thing did too well.
Of course it didn't.
I'm going to watch the Bruce Lee one, though. Apparently this one with Bruce Lee. I'm going to watch that
Bruce Lee should be pretty good.
But, I mean, the Jordan, just the legacy. Like, so if you, everybody knows the backstory to it. So apparently when LeBron won the championship in Cleveland is when Jordan's like, okay, y'all can let it loose. We can do it. And like the theory that a lot of sports media people had was that he finally felt threatened somehow.
Well,
in terms of like, wait,
Jordan. So let's go back to the fact that LeBron finally said that LeBron felt like when he won the title in Cleveland that he was the greatest ever.
Yeah. Like, he felt like either, so back to that thing you said where it gets alluded to throughout the series, Jordan took everything that was said, imagined, made up.
Personally. That's right. So took that as a slide towards him. It's like, hold on, young man. You don't even know. Let me show you.
Let me remind the world. Like, I don't have to tell you. Let me just show the world again why.
Right.
I'm so great. And then the world was like, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. I'm going to stop singing because we're going to have to pay for it. Okay, good idea. But, you know, They want to be like him. Like who? Like Mike Jones. I had to try to throw that in there. But no, like, it was, I wish I would have finished it. Again,
well, you still can.
It'll come back around. I have ESPN Plus, but I don't remember the password.
I was
going to
go on there, like I said, the last day when they aired the last two episodes, yeah. Which I think they...
I recorded those two.
I think they signed on for more episodes, by the way. But by the end of it, you were watching some of the same clips that you had seen earlier in the
series. Well, apparently, so, like, when all this... this
they
was
threw this
to be,
together really fast.
Fast, because this was supposed to be... The first episode should have started, like, this month.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the series should have started this month. Together too soon. And there was some repeats by the end of it. You're like, oh, have I seen this? No, they're talking about something different.
Yeah, but it's the same video clip. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's going on. So, baseball's not being played. Jordan played that too. Trying to figure that out. Basketball, trying to figure that out.
It's going to be an interesting year for sports. MMA's back going.
Yeah. Apparently, have you heard about Fight Island?
Something about it.
Like Dana White has an island where they're building a training facility to where they can have fights on the where they can like quarantine
guys out there have dudes, the fights and come back because their last I don't know about their last one because I think they did a fight night but the big fight before that
like two fighters tested
they had positive. A fighter and his whole crew
they
tested positive for it and they had to get somebody else or cancel that bout
But
everything else went off smooth.
I heard like, even though it was empty, like the fights were like really good.
But we had kind of seen some of that. Anybody that watched the reality show that they used to have, that had that when they fought, it was in an empty thing.
Yeah.
But what was cool was they were talking about now, at least two of the fighters come out and said that while they were in the fight, they could hear the Joe Rogan and who else was it that was doing it?
Like the announcer, the color commentation?
The commentators talking about what the other guy was doing and what they needed to do so they could change their style, and they won.
Yeah.
Like two of the fighters that won, one of the women and one of the men, both said that, you know, I heard him talking about, you know, he should try this, you know, as he does that or whatever.
Speaking of Joe Rogan real quick, shout out to Joe Rogan. Like, I'm not going to listen to
Change the game.
I don't know. I know he doesn't listen to us on, you know.
It'd be a lot cooler if he did.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if he did. Shout us out, Joe Rogan. But, like, the fact that he was able to parlay his podcast, and he can be, what, like I said, he's like a chameleon. He can be whatever his guest is and make it work.
He's pretty talented in the fact that he can talk to the smartest, most intellectual person there is.
You can go from Elon Musk and it's the smart black guy.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Go to those dudes and then in a heartbeat talk to
Tyson.
Mike Tyson or the Yodel Kid. And then turn around and talk to Kevin Hart or Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And then turn around and talk to
and have a legitimate couple hour conversation.
Malcolm Gladwell or a doctor from Europe.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Or any of these people, like, can have...
Anybody.
Yeah.
Pop culture, political stuff, scientists.
Whatever
it needs to be. Like, shout out to him. He's
really good at what he does, and we'll see if his videos take off on Spotify.
Yeah, I would love to see him stand up.
It's not all that funny.
I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be. It is. I've heard a couple of clips online.
He's so physical with it. And some of his stuff's kind of out there. Like, apparently he does a bunch of stuff with monkeys. Like, it's a big part of his... It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen his Netflix stuff. But
I've watched some of it. I'll be honest. You know, Netflix, if they don't get you in the first 10 or 15 minutes...
Yeah.
You pretty much flip it. That's what they told everybody. Like, you hear these comedians. I watch a bunch of Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura and guys like this on YouTube. And they... We talk about the fact that Netflix tells you don't save your good stuff for the end.
Yeah.
You have
put it out early.
The first 5 minutes to get, that's when people decide whether they're going to keep watching or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you better cram everything in to the first, front load it instead of save it for the back end.
Like I said, I've heard a couple of his clips like on serious radio stations, comedy stations like that. But anyway, I'm just talking about the fact the dude like knows his MMA stuff, hardcore fighter dude. Plus, he's a comedian. Loved him on News Radio as an actor. Then he did Fear Factor. He was real cool on that. Like, he was just like a cool dude. And then, like, you always got a podcast. Oh, he's in it. Kudos. It's like I say. Kudos.
He signed a $100 million deal.
Yeah, richest dude on radio podcast. Besides, like, Howard Stern.
I don't even know if you could say besides that.
I mean,
I think he didn't sell his podcast. He sold the rights to his podcast where he'll go exclusively on Spotify. The first of the year, he'll be off of YouTube.
No, yes. I take it back. Screw you, Joe Rogan.
He's going to be off of YouTube because YouTube is starting to demonetize a lot of people, and they don't feel like they have the freedom on YouTube. Because
you don't make any money off of YouTube.
They do because they don't get the automatic ads.
Yeah.
They go, we have so many views on our YouTube channel. Here, this is part of your advertising package.
Yeah, the only thing, and I know it has to be done this way. I'm hating the system, not the game. I hate the game, not the player. But you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, I listen to it on Google Play, a lot of episodes. Like, the first 10 minutes is him just throwing all of his advertisers out there. Like, dude, just let me just talk to the people.
Hey, it's a 3-hour podcast. Yeah. These people pay a bunch of money to be up front.
Yeah.
Some of them pay a bunch of money to be in the middle. And some of them get it at the end.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you fast forward. I'm going to skip 2 minutes. Oh, he's still talking about freaking whatever. Freshbox or shaving cream or whatever the heck he's selling. Man, okay. 15 minutes later.
He was talking about moving to Texas, right?
Yeah, because.
Because of how California's locked down and all that.
Elon Musk can come, but the rest of y'all can stay.
The thing is, because Brian Callen and Brennan Schaub, who do Father and the Kid, were talking about, you know, oh, maybe we should go out there, all this other stuff. But what all of them fail to realize, especially Rogan, weed isn't legal in Texas yet.
Not yet.
It may be tolerated around Austin area or whatever, but it's not legal here.
Just don't get caught.
But at the same time,
Matthew McConaughey gets away with it.
Matthew McConaughey does it in Austin.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But maybe if they come here and you could open up this whole new genre of businesses that would come, I don't think it'd take as long.
Hey, hemp is legal in Texas. You can grow it.
You can grow hemp.
So, okay. So then we got off sports completely. With Joe Rogan.
We talked about Kristen Cavallari's career earlier. Yeah, I think we were already off of sports.
That's
okay?
So true. But it was parlaying at the sports somehow with Joe Rogan. Talking about the UFC stuff. But yeah, UFC's going to fight stuff somewhere. Joe Rogan's really cool.
Joe Rogan is
cool.
He
won my poll of, well, I would rather have a drink with Joe Rogan than Michael Jordan.
Ooh, I don't know.
I would. I think he had better stories.
Probably would. I think
he had way better stories.
He would be a better hang, as they say on their podcast.
Yeah.
So that's something else I found out is if you watch their podcast, you get into kind of their.
Mm-hmm. Like I watched the one with him and Kevin Hart, and they were talking about Dave Chappelle. And just how crazy Dave Chappelle was, or is.
Right.
Like he just like, hey man, I'm doing a show. I can't even do a Dave Chappelle. I'm doing a show, like I just ride around my bike when I need some money. I just call a show. I'm like, hey, book me. I'll be there at midnight.
Yeah, he'll just go in and they'll talk about how he'll take over the comedy store out there and just sit down. He'll have a dude that comes and stands behind him and write his stuff down.
Yeah.
As he's just sitting there.
Yeah. The funniest part was like, apparently, I'm just going to tell people this since we're just rambling now. I like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is a funny dude.
Yep.
He's a very good comedian. He's a good actor, but most of the time he's the same dude in every movie. So that's my critique on Kevin Hart.
Okay, and I got so that's let me just but, say, that's one reason why it's fun when they put Kevin Hart and The Rock in movies together because they are still Kevin Hart and The Rock. They're just in a movie together.
Yeah, and but like I said, so that's my knock on Kevin Hart. I'm not banging on him. That's just my critique. He's just, for the most part, same dude.
The only movie I would say that's different but still kind of shows through is the movie where Bryan Cranston or whatever's paralyzed. Yeah,
Upside.
Yeah.
That was a good movie, and I liked that Kevin Hart. I liked that.
That was
Kevin
a lot
Hart.
More serious Kevin Hart. Okay.
I like that. But anyway. Then he was talking about in that little clip. They're talking about how Dave Chappelle's like the greatest comedian ever right now because of what he's able to do and his story. Anyway, he's talking about how him and Chris Rock basically called each other up saying, "Hey, I got some material. You listen to my stuff. I'll stick around listening to your stuff." And then apparently Dave Chappelle showed up and they're like, "Hey, Dave." Apparently Dave came to watch him. I'm like, "Hey, man, I saw y'all sets. That was funny." And like, "You're not going to go?" He's like, "Should I go? Should I go perform?" And apparently they're like, "Yes, you should perform." So they run back out, tell the people, "Hey, come back in. We got another guest." And Dave Chappelle goes up there with nothing written, just kills it for an hour.
Yeah, slays
and,
better.
Yeah, and halfway through the set, like Chris Rock, which I think is the funniest dude ever. Like, I think his con is like, anyway, I'm a big Chris Rock fan. Apparently him and Kevin Hart says they look at each other. They don't say a word. They take all the jokes they wrote, they thought were great, and they crumpled them up and they threw them away. Yeah. Watching Dave Chappelle on stage. Like, I wish I could be around that kind of greatness. Whatever it is.
But here's the deal. Like, the things that they identify as being so great, because we can watch Chris and Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle and be like, "Man, those guys are funny."
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, and you may get into this some, having your theater background or something like that. And I'll do it now with podcasts as far as listening to some of the audio and things like this.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff we do is when they like hear people tell jokes, they're sitting there like looking at structure and timing and all this other different setup that they have. They're not just being able to sit there and actually enjoy the joke.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I don't ever want to lose, is that innocence about being able to watch them and get just be entertained.
It's so funny you say that. We were babysitting our nieces. We were watching our nieces. We're at their house, killing time, and like this dancing show, The World of Dance. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No.
It's a TV show. It had like Neo, an R&B singer, Jennifer Lopez, and Derek Huff or Derek Ho, whatever it is.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It's a dance competition. It's a dance competition. And you're watching, and like, so the first episode, they're like bringing people in to like perform kind of like American Idol style.
Right.
Just dance for us and let's see what you think. And you see these people, you're an audience member, you're just watching it. And I even brought this up. You're watching it, you're like, "Oh my gosh, that was flawless. That's the greatest dance I've ever seen ever."
Mm-hmm.
And they get done and they're all breathing heavy and stuff. And Neo and J-Lo and them are like, "No, it wasn't good enough." Like, what?
Yep.
Oh, that third thing you did, that third movement you had right there, you lost all your energy. And then, like, what the? But then like you said, like, theater-wise, you kind of pick up on some of that stuff. So I started critiquing this stuff.
Right. Because
there's this one group of dudes, there's four brothers, they did a cool dance. They're like Instagram, YouTube influence type people, social media influencers. They were on a dance show. And they did a little set. It was funny. It was cool. They did all these dances. But when they got done, they all told them no. And I'm like, and my cousins, you know, our nieces, they're like, "But they were so good." And I paused it. I was like, "Okay, remember the two that danced before them?" They're like, "Yeah." "Were they better than the two that danced before them?" They're like, "No." Like, "Could you do the dances that they were doing?"
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Why they're saying what they're saying. They're like, "Oh," so I kind of feel bad that I kind of ruined it for him. Like,
right, just cool dancing. Just took it out.
I did it to my wife too. She's like, she can't let us watch a movie now. She has to like, "I don't like how they did this," or "I don't like how the costumes look like." And that motivation was completely, I'm like, "Oh, what did that do?"
Yeah, see, but I mean, that's the thing that for real, like, I've looked into some comedy stuff and I don't want to dig too deep because I don't want to lose the ability to just sit back and be entertained.
Sometimes it's good to be ignorant. And it says that you don't know what's going on. You're just there to enjoy the show.
Right. It's kind of like a magician.
Speaking of which, since we got a few minutes to kill, two questions. One, the match with Peyton and Tiger, Phil and Tom Brady. Did the audio ruin it for you?
For a big part of it, yes.
Really?
It did, because they kept having mic trouble. You could tell something else people may or may not pick up on. Like, having microphones and stuff on you is going to change a lot of the things that you do.
Because that's a theater thing. I tell people, once someone's watching, you're no longer being yourself. You're performing.
Hey, and I struggle. I'll try to get people to come on our podcast all the time,
mm-hmm.
or record some other kind of podcast, something, you know,
yeah.
get in front of
you
a mic.
You got all this cool stuff, yeah.
And it's amazing the amount of people that are confident in all kinds of walks of life, but you even talk about putting a microphone in front of them, shut down. I don't know how to do it.
Trust me, I'm a theater teacher. Like,
it's
so
like you just talk.
You can go on a football field and run through 8 dudes and score a 79-yard touchdown, but you won't sit down for 5 minutes and talk about it? No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Like, people love you. Yeah, I know, but I don't want to talk like that. Like, no, I'm all right. You just did, like, 10 TikToks. Yeah, that's different, though. You know?
Uh-huh, like, yeah. Like, see, so yeah. there you go.
Look, because I asked that because, like, Deshaun Jackson came out. I don't know if you heard this today. Deshaun Jackson came out and said, we should play the NFL games with no fans, and we should all be mic'd up, and they should pump that through the audience, to the TV viewing audience, so that they can hear what's really going on the field.
Yeah, but the problem is there's FCC requirements. Yeah,
there's somebody that's over the button just like,
you could never hear anything.
Carpal tunnel, like, yeah. You're like, who are you going to mic? Because, like, you know, they do those, you know, so, you know, Monday Night Football, they always do the mic'd up dude, and they, like, go through. And I like on College Game Day, they do that. They'll find a coach the week of the game, they'll mic them up. But, you know, you don't hear.
That's right.
You hear the, come on, y'all get on the field. Like, you don't hear the stuff.
Yeah, everybody else.
Like, I want to hear Nick Saban in a locker
every
room.
Every once in a while, he's going, yeah, I bet y'all didn't put that on TV, did you?
Yeah, I want to see Nick Saban when he's going off on somebody on the sideline and Herb Street's going, Nick Saban doesn't seem to be too happy right now about what I want to hear that. Yeah. We don't hear that. I want to hear Dabo Sweeney tell Trevor Lawrence what he really feels about his call on 3rd and 3.
Yeah.
That RPO.
Come here, sunshine.
Yeah, they're going to do that. So I was wondering, like, what your thought was that, but, like, yeah, once you put a microphone on it, you're kind of like playing to the camera, playing to the audio, so to speak. So
yeah,
it's not nearly as authentic.
Shotgun mics that they didn't know who was being recorded.
Yeah.
You can maybe pull it off. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it changes, but it's really tough. People that don't do it don't understand how tough it is to be natural and authentic when you're being recorded.
Yeah, because if you think about it, I love NFL films. And I remember they used to do all those, you know, wacky packages from back in the day. Like, to be the guy that has to edit all that.
Right.
Because there's a bunch of stuff, because they pick up everything.
Yeah.
And there's, I believe, 98% of that stuff, they would love, like, oh, that's an awesome play. But Donovan McNabb's back there throwing Tim F-bombs back.
Right.
Randy Moss, a spectacular catch, but he's saying a bunch of stuff. We ruined people's careers.
Yeah, yeah.
And this in 2020 cancel culture, shoot.
Yeah, it's, you, like, cannot put
you
that
knock
out
a dude
there.
Over. Like, that's what you thought. Beep. And then, like, whoa, no.
Yeah, can we get Myles Garrett mic'd up when he's, like, hitting people in the head?
They have it somewhere.
With mics, I know.
Just release the tape.
And then, not only that, Myles Garrett, who I thought was always known as being, like, this intelligent dude, goes after
Rudolph.
No, who was it that he went after on his own team? It may have been OBJ. I think he may have went after OBJ on Twitter or whatever about some kind of assault video or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, homie, are you sure you want to be coming at me with that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. But anyway, but it doesn't matter because he's a.
But it was something like that. It was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, he's a Seahawk now. So.
Is he?
Yeah, he got traded.
I did not even hear that.
You see if I make sure. I mean, make sure. But yeah.
Are you?
I'm pretty sure he got traded because I remember a couple weeks ago it was a big thing about apparently someone was trying to serve. They're trying to the Seahawks were thinking about trying to trade Russell Wilson away.
Oh well. I don't think Myles Garrett's worth Russell Wilson, but
no, not for Russell Wilson. Just, like, apparently the story came out that he was going to be on the trade block,
right? That he was available.
Yeah,
I don't know about your Myles Garrett. Nah, I don't think so.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
The story came out.
Now,
like,
you're fake news right now, man. Starting rumors.
So, Myles Garrett traded Seahawks. Oh, it came from a Reddit prank.
Oh.
Okay.
After, let's see.
This is a couple weeks ago. Garrett, so here's NBC Sports. Beef. I'll pull it up real quick. Seahawks, Myles Garrett fake trade rumor explained, debunked. I'm just reading it. What does Myles Garrett and Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight have in common? A lot recently. Recently a lot. Some men just want to watch the world burn. So apparently, yeah, that was a Reddit Twitter thing that someone, Charles Robinson says this in a tweet May 11th. As much as I don't want to break up the entertaining Twitter brouhaha between hashtag Browns and hashtag Seahawks fans, Myles Garrett isn't being traded. Cleveland is working hard on an extension. Garrett will be shot to Mars in a rocket before he's dealt to Seattle. Not, period, happening, period.
Okay, let's see. The Last Dance has captivated the nation. This is from Complex Magazine. The Last Dance has captivated the nation now that professional sports have been put on hold. But Myles Garrett and OBJ used a clip from the documentary to joke about two of the NFL's top stories. On Sunday, Browns defensive end Garrett sent out a tweet featuring a clip of Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman tapping each other on the butt during the NBA Finals. Myles Garrett said how at OBJ thought spanking the cop was going to go. Because I guess...
I got in trouble for that, yeah.
Yeah. So then, after Beckham's alma mater, LSU, won the national championship, he decided to celebrate with the team in the locker room during the festivities.
Yes, OBJ ended up
slapping
an
officer on the butt. And anyway, he got arrested and all this other stuff. So it says, the hilarious moment went viral. OBJ was charged with assault for the incident. Now that the charges have been dropped, Garrett's tweet appeared to be the perfect troll. Yet it ended up serving as the ultimate layup for Beckham to reference Garrett's helmet swinging. Wait a minute, that wasn't even the worst part. The worst part was I got charged with assault, and somehow you didn't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's, yeah. So I thought, everybody thought there might be a little beef going on there, but I think that's just two dudes.
Yeah, these are two dudes, two alphas or whatever. And, yeah. Yeah. I can't, yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, we got that going on. The NBA is trying to figure out their season, and they may play. I don't know. They may have a title.
Baseball's the biggest one.
Because they haven't started.
Basketball wants to play.
Basketball wants to play. They want to figure it out. Baseball's, like everybody's talking about, baseball's the one that they haven't started yet that they need to figure out. And, again, it all comes down to money. And
yeah, because the owners have proposed, hey, let's do this, and, split the money 50-50.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, if you don't play, we'll go broke. And they're like, well, would you really? Because open the books up. That's the argument. Like, open up the books. Let's see how broke you'll go. How broke, how bad, for hit up for cash y'all are. And Major League Baseball teams are like, we're not going to show you that.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Because why do you need to see that?
Then you'll be wanting more money. Whenever
we are broke. Just take our word for it. Exactly. We wouldn't lie to you.
Come on.
Come on, we're a small market team. We're the Yankees. We don't make any money. Players are like,
look, we signed guaranteed contracts, so.
Yeah, no one saw this.
What?
Talking about this what the world is right now. No one saw this happening when they came up with, guaranteed contracts.
Well.
Trust me, put it this way. As a teacher in Texas, as an educator in the United States right now, not knowing what's going to happen in the next couple of months, or even once the school year starts, what's going to happen after that? I signed a contract recently, and it says I work set amount of days, but there's already talk about them expanding upon our amount of days and them having us work more days than I've already signed for. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that's going to work. So I'm not even six-figure athlete, so I don't even want to think about what that looks like when it comes to negotiations and stuff. I mean, we don't have a union, so I can't negotiate anything. So, yeah, that's all I got.
You're right, but you can quit.
No, I can't.
Well, okay.
Well, I've done it too many times at too many places.
Oh, okay, no, I cannot. That's right. Before you could quit, now you're locked in.
The first time around.
They got you. It could be Jermaine, we're going to dock your pay. We're giving you 80% of pay because we didn't finish school last year. And it's like, you know what? That is bad. But fine.
Yeah, that's
just
that's,
make sure that 80% goes in the bank when it's supposed to.
I got
to.
A story for you when we get off. When we get
we'll
off,
we'll make
this.
All that work.
I got a story.
You don't want to tell it on air?
No.
We've rambled for a whole hour and 15 minutes at this point.
No, it's not my story to tell.
So. Oh, it's somebody else's story. Okay. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up and go from there.
As yeah, yeah. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. I don't post anything on Twitter. I should, but yeah, find our Facebook. When sports happens, we'll make sure we'll put it up there. And stay safe. And we didn't talk about the biggest thing that's happening in the world right now because, trust me, we're trying to be the thing that doesn't
right.
focus on that. Y'all need a distraction from the real world for an hour and 15 minutes. We'll be that. It'll be there when you get back. It's his healing.
Yeah, if we'd have told y'all it was an hour and 15 minutes of this at the beginning, you never would have made it this far.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. And we'll come back real soon when a ball is on the field or on the court or something. Second base with Bowman and Burks.
We're out.